for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billing.
Hi friends, welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. Luke is making fun of me currently, and
currently, always.
Always. Luke shows his love by being mean.
That's what makes me so nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Alright. That's
what makes me lovable. That's why the audience comes back for me every week.
Do they?
No.
Well, we're gonna start our Spooktober season.
Ooh, scary thunder noises.
So Luke and Eric are gone, and they are replaced by evil Eric.
And Lurky Lou.
Ooh, spooky. Me and Luke just got back from a dance class.
Yeah.
Not that it was spooky.
It was not spooky. It was rainy. We were, some would say, singing in the rain.
Or dancing in the rain.
Yeah. Good old Theater Jazz and Metro Movement.
Shout out. Luke did great. It was definitely his style.
Eric also did great.
It's not really my style, but I still did good, I think.
Still did great. We had fun. It was nice. We both needed a little release, and that's what we got, was just sweat it out, have fun with...
Good vibes,
which was nice. It's Eric's season.
It is my season.
So it should always be good vibes. It is fall. Once again, I have an apple cinnamon tea, this time in a plaid mug.
And I have a Coke Zero.
Shocking. But it's a fall Coke Zero.
I don't know if you heard that, but the upstairs neighbors are having a domestic. I don't know. There is some loud noises. We apologize.
I live in a very old building. The floors are very thin, so you will hear people wandering around. Just think of it as like ghost noises.
Ghosts are everywhere. Shout out Carly.
Witches are everywhere.
Witches are everywhere.
The theme of this podcast.
That. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
I think they're rearranging all the furniture.
You can literally see it on the dials. We're sorry. Yeah, think of it as spooky ghosts in the background.
Yeah, it's like chains getting dragged along the floor. It's
Dracula opening his coffin.
Yeah. Ooh. I want to suck your blood.
Fun. You know that there's a difference between caskets and coffins?
Did you learn this on
Ask Mortician? Yeah. 100%.
We should say that for your pop pick.
Oh, no, I've already used her as my pop pick.
Everyone knows about it.
Everybody knows about it.
Eric, tell me what the difference between a casket and a coffin is.
Caskets are rectangular and coffins are that sort of hexagonal shape.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping there was be a funny joke. I thought maybe you were setting yourself up.
Nope,
we're just facts. This is just facts.
Just facts.
Just the facts, no fun. That is Before There Were Hashtags motto.
Just death facts.
Well, only in October.
Only in October. I do love Ask Mortician. She's great. Caitlin, she's a star.
She is the moment.
Her bangs,
they're banging.
Her bangs are beautiful. They're perfect. They look like Linda Evangelista. They're a model.
We couldn't start it without a Drag Race.
You know what? I'm feeling Drag Race fatigue. Like, I tried to watch UK last night and couldn't get through it.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm excited. At least, like, right now, there's literally only one.
Yeah, that's fair.
When it was, what was it, Canada and Secret Celeb, and, like, it just felt like this summer there was just so much.
Yeah, there was so much. There was Canada and also UK versus the World, where it was all on at the same time, and it was a lot.
I haven't even gotten into Philippines.
Oh, I don't watch international language
versions.
Much reading. Too much reading for my dyslexic brain.
Not the fun kind.
No, but I am feeling that Drag Race fatigue where I just don't want to watch it. Mitch is sad because I do love it. I just think I need a little bit of a break.
I mean, I feel like we saw this coming. They have way too many spinoffs. That it's like any other show. It gets big, then they like make a million versions so people get tired of it, and then shoo.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, every country wants their own version, so I'm not mad at it. I guess I just have to start being picky and choosy about which ones I watch.
Flagship, Canada.
But the thing is that I love UK. Like, I think so the UK is maybe the best iteration of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm so excited.
Yeah? Who are you liking on UK?
On UK, well, I did like Copper Top, but...
Spoilers!
That was last week's episode.
That's fair. At this point, it'll be 2 weeks.
Well, now I'm afraid to say somebody, because what if you're like, oh no. I guess you didn't finish.
No, I didn't finish the most latest episode.
I mean, I think Black Peppa's going to win.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel that for
sure. I like Baby, too.
I do like Baby, I just don't like her name.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's like actually a pun that they couldn't put on air. Like,
oh, like Jan Sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like Baby's just like a terrible drag name.
Yep. No, you're not wrong.
Because you can't look it up. You should be able to look up a drag queen's name and that be the thing that pops up.
Yeah.
And if you look up baby, spoiler alert, she does not pop up first.
No. Yeah, who else am I liking? I like Cheddar Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll be Black Peppa, Cheddar Gorgeous, and maybe Baby, actually.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The UKs have like a different vibe, and I like it.
I think they take it less seriously, which yeah. I enjoy.
I also feel kind of like Rue takes it a little less seriously.
Yes.
So it's more fun, and I guess there's just no stakes because there's no money.
Exactly.
There's no vibe. Like, they're literally just like, we're here to like make you famous and have fun. Like, there's no stakes.
Yeah, it's just a platform.
Yeah.
And you get Rue Peter badges, which you can buy yourself if you want.
Yeah, who was it that had the runway where she like had the coat full of all the Rue Peter badges?
Oh,
like,
oh yeah. Sold
it. Like, she had bought them all online, like every version.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you can just literally buy them.
Go to AliExpress.
Well, they also just don't really mean anything. It's like track record in any season. Like, it means to a point, but then it really doesn't.
They give them out like candy.
It's like the whole group in the group challenge wins. Like, yeah. I have a Rue Peter badge. Like, you won it from your group.
Yeah, you were the weakest one.
Yeah. We're looking at you. What's her name? Who's the blonde trans one? Who's like super pretty, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think she'll go much farther.
She has the most badges. But
does she? Actually, her first lip sync was really good. I was actually really impressed.
Yeah.
And that song is a bop.
I love the UK ones because I don't know the songs as well, but they're all bops.
Yeah.
And like you discover music through UK. Where I find US, I'm like, oh, I know the song. Either I love it or I don't.
Yeah. Oh, it was Australia. That was the one that was Australia and Celebrity. They were the last ones that I watched. That one, no, I was starting to get a little like.
Yeah.
Plus, Australia is just still, they had better budget, but it wasn't still, it's still very.
I like how Electra Shock literally lost.
She got six.
The girl group challenge, yeah. Because the choreography wasn't strong enough because it just featured her the whole time.
And then they brought her back as a choreographer.
Yeah, which I thought was wrong that they said that to her the first time. I think she is a good choreographer.
Yeah.
And she definitely was dance. She was one of the boys.
Oh, right.
Because they wore the yeah, bandanas the masks. Yeah. With the masks. Like, she was...
I mean, she could get it.
She's very fit.
Yeah, I'm very
good looking. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we should get into our daily gassing up the time machine.
Daily. Me and Eric do this every morning.
Every morning.
We meditate and then we gas up our time machine.
This is a daily podcast. It comes out every morning.
We just only podcast put out one a week. But we record seven every week.
You get the best one.
This is the best one. Just think about that.
Congratulations. That's how much work we put into this. And some weeks, when we don't put out a podcast, it's because we know it wasn't good enough for you. But we did it every day.
We did it every day. Just think of all the topics. Oh my gosh. We can barely think of topics sometimes.
I definitely have found, because you've been on the podcast, it's become Disney-fied. Every week has some Disney connection.
Well, I mean, that's what I know.
That's what she like.
That's what I like.
I know. I have to like send you for like a tailspin and give you something like completely random.
Like, I'm trying to think of something random,
but if it wouldn't work.
If I thought of it, it wouldn't be random.
I did introduce you to Paris Hilton's music.
Yeah.
And all the Banksy drama.
Yes.
Recently talked about.
I just mean recently in the last little while. They've been very Disney.
I was talking
to Disney fall.
Talking to Madison, our friend, and she was like, I laughed so hard at the Banksy stuff in the Paris Hilton episode.
Oh, she listened.
She did listen.
I just assume no one listens. I just assume
no one does listen.
Put this out, and no, I listen to it at the gym at 1.5 speed later just to see if it actually sounded fine. And usually it does.
We do have listeners. Not like crazy amounts, but we do, and we appreciate them.
This will be the one that breaks through.
The algorithm will pick it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm setting my time machine up.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's actually a time machine hearse because it's spooked over.
Spooked over. Should get new music for the intro that's like spooky.
It's just Kim Petras.
The Halloween
there
album.
There will be blood.
Luke gave me his freaking gold.
Listen, I warned you. I knew this would happen.
It's all good. All right, here we go. Well, there's been some funny stuff about my good friend Michael Bublé. Yeah, in the news.
Your current friend, yeah.
My best friend that I met. Yeah, so he was in Buffalo, and he said something like, I'm from Canada, but I will never cheer for the Leafs F the Leafs, something about that. And so now Toronto is saying that you have to boycott Michael Bublé's music over Christmas to teach him a lesson.
I give it literally 2 days in November, and then they'll be playing some Bublé. You can't have Christmas without Bublé.
He is the king of Christmas.
He is the king of Christmas, at least in Canada.
I don't even really care because I'm not a Leafs fan.
I don't really care because I'm not really a sports fan, so...
Yeah, well, I guess that's true.
But another news, this will be becoming a sports podcast. I hope you're all ready.
Yeah.
All hockey, all the time. No. I mean, whatever. I mean, they canceled the Dixie Chicks for...
Speaking out against Bush.
It's their president, so like...
That could be a topic.
Oh, I do love the Chicks, okay? Yeah. Write that down.
Yeah. Well, also, in his Toronto concert, he put on a Maple Leafs jersey to kind of apologize, but gagged as he did it.
Listen, he's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, no, he does. He does. And then said, you know what, Toronto? If there's no other Canadian team in the playoffs, I will cheer for the Leafs. So,
and honestly, he's not the only Canadian or Torontonian saying that. So
no.
We love to hate on celebrities.
Well, speaking of hate... Chris Colfer of Glee fame was asked if he was going to go see Lea Michele in Funny Girl on Broadway, and he said something along the lines of, I think I'm busy that night.
And if I want to be traumatized, I can do that at home.
She's on six times a week.
JD. I want to see her.
I do too. I've seen clips. She looks and sounds amazing.
I've just heard the actual version of the musical is not great.
Oh, I've heard that too.
But
I've heard the staging isn't great. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she's amazing, but...
I mean, we've basically seen her do it on Glee.
On Glee. She's so hated, though, by that Glee cast. What did she do to them? We know what she did.
Well, we know what she did. She was a monster.
She was a monster. She was going to shit in somebody's wig.
Except for to Corey Monteith?
Yeah, Corey Monteith.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. She's not very nice to Naya Rivera.
And also R.I.P.
R.I.P. Glee curse. That's a topic. Maybe next week we'll do the Glee curse.
Ooh...
So yeah, Lea Michele still being hated by the Glee cast. That was not clear. I did
almost
not say
as
that
much
very
as
well.
Kim Kardashian being hated at a football game.
Yeah, she had a Rams game
got
and
booed.
Got booed for
See,
no
again,
reason.
This is a sports podcast.
This is a sports podcast.
Okay, the only way Eric talks about sports is if a Kardashian's involved.
She looked fabulous.
I mean, I'm not a fan of a daytime catsuit.
Oh, I love it. I'm into it. I'm into the blonde Kim.
I'm also surprised they like recognized her. She was just in giant sunglasses and like
blonde hair, which is not Kim's usual look.
No, she was like, I'm putting on a look. Maybe they just mistook her for someone else, and that's why.
Maybe
they I'm like, I don't understand why Rams fans would even care about Kim Kardashian.
I don't know. People seem to hate on her, which is fair. But
which, I mean, they should be hating on her ex a little more.
Oh my gosh, yes. Kanye wearing a White Lives Matter shirt and saying anti-Semitic things. Oh my gosh,
tweets and things. Ugh.
I want to have some sympathy because I know he has some mental health issues, and but it doesn't excuse you. You don't get to be an asshole even if you have mental health issues.
But I mean, he didn't talk about the most discriminated group of people, and that is the unvaccinated, according to Alberta's new premier, who said that she has never seen a more discriminated group of people in her entire life than the unvaccinated. Yeah, when she's lived through, you know, the AIDS crisis, you know, just non-white
Black
people
Lives
in
Matter.
General, like literally yeah. everyone else.
The gays.
Anyways, just got a little political, but that was what was on my feed all week was that.
I have some anti-vax family members, and it's really hard.
Which, I mean, you're allowed to be anti-vax. I wouldn't say you're the most discriminated group
in
all of history.
That's fair. Totally.
Like, you're allowed to be anti-vax. That, like, if you're a premier of a province and now you're, like, the most discriminated people in my entire life. It's like, no. No, ma'am. No. You need to calm down. You're
so
being too loud.
I assume she's anti-vax.
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, super, like the ultra-conservative leader.
And she's the premier?
Yeah.
Last week? Yes, you're right. I'm totally... It's coming back to me. Oh, my goodness. This country. I mean, could be worse.
I feel like this was the most Canadian intro we've had in a while.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little Bublé.
Little Alberta. Well, that brings us...
Celine Dion. I don't know. I just feel like you have to say... If you're talking about...
Celine Dion.
Take a kayak.
I mean, that's another thing we could talk about, too, is...
Her memories performance on that 80s... Delathon. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh my god. Look up Celine Dion Sings Memories. It's on like a charity show in the 80s, and she's in a full cat's outfit, sexy cat's outfit.
Ooh.
On a stage that's lit from the bottom. So it's just like a disco stage, but all white. And then just watch it. If you've never seen it, watch it. Me and Eric will watch it right after this.
I was going to mention Avril Lavigne and the fact that she's been replaced, that she died.
What?
You haven't heard this conspiracy theory?
No.
That Avril Lavigne is dead.
From Lyme disease.
No, before this.
Oh.
Like, after her first album, she died. And then has been replaced by a girl named, I believe, Melissa. That's pretending to be her. Because she was so successful that they were like, well, we'll just make more albums. And then all the music that's been released has been unreleased tracks that she recorded.
No. That's not
for her first album. Yeah.
That's not
no, it's a conspiracy theory. It's real. I mean, I don't know if it's real, but like, it's a real conspiracy theory.
Oh, I hate the world sometimes.
That's also like, people think that Britney Spears is cloned. That's a whole thing. We talked about
that. I mean, she was.
Yeah.
And then they let the clone free, and that's why it's gotten so weird.
I mean, we still love the clone.
I mean, yeah. And she put on sunscreen, so we're happy.
Update. Britney put on sunscreen. Thank goodness.
Okay, we should get into this topic, though.
Yeah,
we're like already 45 minutes into the pod, and we haven't even brought up what the topic is yet.
Yeah, so today we're going into Spooktober, so we're going to talk about Disney's Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus! Ooh. Or Halloween House.
Yes.
Spoiler.
It's so Halloween, they decided to release it in July.
Yeah, that was a choice.
That was a choice.
That was a huge choice. This movie could have been even bigger if they would have just September. Even just September.
Even just September.
Like,
yeah.
Back to school. Like, it. Yeah. But no.
That was a choice.
They didn't want to interfere with Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, was that the same year?
And Addams Family Values.
Oh, that's fair.
But also, Nightmare Before Christmas should have been closer to Christmas. Technically, they could have had Halloween for the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That was the... I don't know which marketing guy needed to be fired, but... that was it. So yeah, it came out in July of 1993.
Mm-hmm.
To not great fanfare.
No, and not great reviews.
Not great reviews. It got one star from the famous movie, what's his name? Egbert?
Oh, yes, I know.
They were like, he was the famous movie reviewer. Gave it one star.
Oh my gosh.
But then grew into the cult classic that we know and love now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of the few Disney major releases that is considered a cult classic.
Yes. Well, there's... I don't know. There was some, like, crazy stuff about the development of this film, but there is some, like, really cool facts that me and Luke found.
Oh, so. Yeah. We went down some rabbit holes.
Yes.
So, we will see. We have not really discussed which ones we know together, which ones we don't know, so it's going to be a fun journey of us yelling out fun facts together.
You know what's also fun about it? Is that it's impossible that Hocus Pocus actually happened, because in the year 1993, Halloween was on a Sunday. But they have school on Halloween in the film.
They do.
So it couldn't have happened. It's in a different universe.
Also, there was no full moon on Halloween in 1993, so that wouldn't have happened either.
No.
It would have had to have been, I think, 7 years later or 9 years earlier if they actually wanted to be a full moon on Halloween.
Well.
Which, I mean, I feel like they could have just not made it in 1993. They could have just said it.
Does it ever say in the film that it's 1993, or is it just sort of like an ambiguous year? But
well, I think like the commercial, the play is 1993. Everything that they reference is 1993.
The fashion's definitely early 90s.
The mom is a early 90s Madonna.
Yeah.
So like all the references are definitely at least early 90s.
Yeah.
So they couldn't be like, this is actually 1985. Yeah, there was no full moon, and it was not...
There's no Halloween on a school day.
On a school day, yeah. Yeah, they should have just made it, I don't know, ambiguous, but I don't know.
It's hard to do that.
I mean, also, the entire movie... Should we describe the plot of this movie in case anyone has not seen Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, if you've not seen Hocus Pocus, get Disney Plus and watch it. But yeah, it's about...
Three sister witches that back in 1693? No.
Yeah, sort of during 1693. The Salem witch trials.
It was 300 years before this, so 1693. Fun fact, it was not. The Salem witch trial ended in May of 1693, and this film takes place in October 1693.
Oh, yeah. People love to say the witch trials happened in October, and they did not.
They did not. Well, they did the year before.
Yeah.
But not literally, everyone was pardoned in May of 1693.
Yeah.
So, but what they also like to say is that the Sanders sisters were so evil that they just, like, did one more trial afterwards.
Right.
And killed them. So, anyways, they suck the life out of a little girl so that they can become young again. Her brother tries to stop them.
Thackeray.
And gets burned. They turn him into a cat. Then the town tries them and hangs them. They curse the town, saying that they will be back when a virgin lights the black flame candle on Halloween night under a full moon.
Ooh.
Cut to our antagonist, Max, and his little sister, Danny, who just moved to town and are learning about the Sanderson sisters.
And then he sneaks into the museum
to impress
a girl.
A girl that he wants to impress.
A new girl in school.
No, he's the new boy in school.
Oh, you're right.
She's lived there forever. Okay. Her mom used to run the museum. So that's how they get into the house.
You can tell one of us didn't like Halloween as a child, so I actually watched the movie for the first time as an
To be fair, I also didn't like Halloween as a child, but I did like this movie.
I was told it was too scary for me.
I mean, it probably was too scary for me until I was a teenager, so I was a very scared child. Anyways, so the sisters are brought back. Mayhem ensues. They try to take the little girl's soul because they have to take another child's soul in order to stay past the one night that they've been brought back.
Yes.
They rise up their ex-boyfriend as a zombie to help them, but he ends up helping the kids defeat the Sanderson sisters. The whole town is hypnotized by a song by the Sanderson sisters. All the adults have to party all night. And then also the youngest Sanderson sister sings the children Sarah. To hypnotize them.
Sarah, played by SJP.
Sarah Jessica Parker. And they lose.
They get turned into stone.
Just one. The other ones get hit by the sunrise, and then they all explode. Thackeray and Emily are reunited. The curse is lifted, and they walk ghostly off into the future, into the
abyss.
Unknown.
into heaven.
Into heaven. And the children are safe in Salem. Until 30 years later, but we won't get to that.
Let's talk about the development of this movie. So it actually started as a bit of a bedtime story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the producer, what's his name?
David Kushner?
Yes.
Yes. Told it to his daughter as a bedtime story after they were sitting in their front yard and their neighbor's black cat went across their path, and he made up this story about three witches and
turning him into a cat
and him trying to save the town and all the things. So, and then he wrote into a short story,
mm-hmm.
and which was then made into a script
by Mick Garris, who wrote the script.
And then they pitched it to a bunch of different people. But when they pitched it to Disney, they made the whole room of Halloween. So they hung broomsticks from the ceiling.
Ooh.
They had a giant bowl of candy corn in the middle of the table. They put decorations everywhere to make it very fall, and they made everything super dark and creepy to really sell them on this Halloween movie, which I think is kind of cool.
I love that. And it was originally going to be called, or its working title was, Disney's Halloween House,
which is a terrible name.
Terrible.
It has nothing to do with the, I guess maybe it did in the original one,
maybe
the house is more of a feature, but it doesn't feature much in the movie now.
They also pitched to Steven Spielberg to direct it and co-produce it with his film company, but Steven Spielberg viewed Disney as competition and so refused. Well,
I mean, look at all the kids' movies he made in the 80s, Goonies and E.T. and all these big family classics. If you want to work, you can't blame him for wanting Spielberg.
Yeah, but he did not go along.
And then they were originally going to make it just a made-for-TV movie. And then Disney was like, no, you know what? This is going to be a feature film.
Well, actually, production of the script halted. And it was not going to be made until Bette Midler came in and was like, I actually want to do this film. So she kind of reignited the interest in the film.
Because originally he wanted Cloris Leachman to play
the
role, which is wild.
Oh, there's some alternate casting for these roles. Leonardo DiCaprio was offered the role of Max.
Allegedly.
Well, he said
that he was offered a bunch of money. Yeah. Kenny Ortega says that he met with him knowing fully that he couldn't do the movie.
Yeah.
I think it was probably both. I think he met with him knowing he couldn't and then was like, what if we offered him all the money and then he could come on?
Yeah.
But no, he wanted to do a little movie called...
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Which...
He hadn't even auditioned yet for it.
But he was like this... I guess he just knew. Which, to be fair, got him his first Golden Globe and first Oscar nomination. So he made the right choice. Spoiler, no one got nominated for an Oscar for Hocus Pocus.
What? Really?
Although they should have.
They should have.
We should go back and offer Bette Midler an Oscar for her performance.
Also, Rosie O'Donnell was originally offered the role of Mary.
Yeah.
Who would eventually be played by Kathy McJimmy. Am I saying that name right?
Kathy Najimy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Rosie O'Donnell, this is like height of her talk show.
Yeah.
And she was really like known for being super nice. And she didn't want to be playing a witch and be seen as a mean person for kids. Because she had that image of, like, niceness. So she's like, I don't want to be seen as, like, an evil witch to children. So that's why she turned it down.
And then this is... Okay, this is wild. This is an alternate casting, but it was... So Sean Murray played the human version of Binks. And Jason Marsden voiced the character of in the feline form. But he also dubbed... Murray when he was
Thackeray,
like a human Thackeray.
So yeah, they redubbed his entire performance.
So it's a different person speaking
than who the actor is because they thought he had too modern of a voice. So they just went and redubbed it with the Goofy movies star.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, could you imagine? I'm sure they told him beforehand.
I don't know.
Or did he like show up to the premiere and it was just some other guy's voice coming out of it? He's like, that was the choice I made.
Maybe he couldn't tell.
No, he could. They know.
Yeah. Like, they know now.
I'm sure they told him like, hey, we love your look. We're not going to go refilm the scenes, but like we want you sound too modern.
Yeah.
So we're just like, dude, that's my sister, bro.
That's my sister, bro. Bro. No one said bra.
No one said bra.
93.
I don't know. We don't know.
Bieber wasn't alive back then.
Oh my gosh, people said bra before Justin Bieber.
Really?
Like, yes,
I know. What? Yes, I know, but like, I think mainstream I learned it from Bieber.
Mm. Yes, but what you learned, what the rest
of I know, it's like how Miley Cyrus didn't invent twerking.
She definitely did not.
But that's what people say. People are like, oh, she discovered twerking. And it's like, no.
She discovered it. She discovered it and then used it. But she did not...
She appropriated it.
Yeah, she appropriated it. Definitely not her.
Oh, my goodness. And then, yeah, this film was also directed by Kenny Ortega.
Of High School Musical fame.
And Newsies.
And Descendants.
And Descendants.
For all you young listeners.
Gay icon.
Kenny Ortega?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that for sure.
Well... He is queer. So.
He is queer. He is gay and an icon. I don't know if he's a gay icon.
I don't know. I call him a gay icon.
I don't know a lot of gays that are like, yes, Kenny!
Yes, Kenny!
You better work, girl! Just the Disney gays.
So you.
So me.
Yeah, so also principal photography took place in October 12th of 1992, and all the outdoor scenes were filmed in Salem, Massachusetts, but all the indoor scenes were, of course, shot on a soundstage in Burbank, California. Sorry, not just the outdoor scenes, all the daytime scenes.
Right.
Indoor scenes and nighttime scenes were all filmed in Burbank.
And the ones in front of the Sanderson House.
Yeah. And also Marblehead, Massachusetts, where some of the scenes were shot. Production finally completed in February 10th, 1993. A Pioneer Village was used to do all the Salem, like, old world.
I think it's actually in Salem.
Yeah.
I think it's the Pioneer Village from Salem.
Yeah.
Which they also use in the new version, too. They go through the Pioneer Village, so they, like, show you.
Oh, cute.
Which is cool, yeah. There's not to talk about the new one, but
also some iconic scenery that was used in this film. So sure the was. Friends fountain is actually used in the background of one of the scenes. So yeah,
so when they've burnt them in the incinerator and they're dancing outside, if you look in the background, there is a fountain, and that is the Friends fountain, which is wild.
And then also one of the houses is the same house used in American Beauty.
Yep.
And I believe it's the same actress. It's an American Beauty.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
She was like, guys, I have a location.
I was in this children's movie. No, it's...
Not sure if you heard of it.
Not sure if it's called Hocus Pocus. It didn't do well in theaters.
Halloween House,
if you will. Halloween House. It was released in July. No one saw it.
Anything else location-wise that were fun?
No, but another sort of... So there was like a bunch of animatronic cats that were used for the film, including... And also real cats.
I think they had, what, 6 different real cats for different purposes?
Yeah. And the kids hated the cats.
Yeah. Yeah, the little girl, Danny, who like did the most acting with the cats, said it was just the worst.
Because she had to ingratiate herself to each cat separately and get them to like her.
Yeah, you basically have to like have a bonding day with the trainer, and you like it's a whole process if you have to work with an animal. And you have to do that with the animal that this is the cuddle cat. This is the cat that comes to you. This is the cat that runs away from you.
This is the cat that jumps.
Yeah, all the cats that only do one trick, because apparently it's super hard to train cats to do things.
Yeah, because cats suck.
Yeah, because cats do what they want.
Cats are independent. They don't give a shit.
Cats are the children of Satan.
That's fair. That's true. But also they did use animatronic cats. And one of the animatronic cats was the same cat that they used as Salem in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh.
Starring Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh. Some might say the Hilary Duff of her time. I'm just kidding.
I just needed to bring her into it at some point. That was Luke. I did not bring up Hilary Duff.
Listen, I am no staple of this podcast. I need to contribute to the Hilary talk.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's so fun. I mean, why not? If you've already got a black cat that's animatronic, why not just reuse it? Totally. Although these ones, they put a CGI face over, as opposed to Sabrina, it's very animatronic.
It's very animatronic.
But we love it.
We love it. This kind of brings me to like some of the thoughts. Like, I was actually comparing this film randomly to The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the new Sabrina.
Right.
And just how I think sometimes setting things in Salem is really challenging because there is a true history there. So they kind of are rewriting history. Like, that there wasn't real witches. Where in Chilling Adventures, they also have witch trials, but they didn't put it in Salem. They actually mentioned Salem, and they're like, those are the more famous witch trials that overshadowed ours.
Yeah,
which true. I like appreciate that. I don't know if setting it in actual Salem was a smart idea. I don't know.
I guess it's just already a magical place, so people just, if you're going to put witches from the 1600s, it's just going to be Salem always.
I know, but it sort of perpetuates this idea of witch to kitsch.
I mean, that's true, but I guess there was only so many locations.
I know, but you could have made up a
location. If you want 300-year-old witches. Yeah, you could have made up just a fake town.
Yeah, a fake town. Massachusetts.
Whalum. Yeah, I don't mind that it's in Salem. I mean, at least they didn't try to put it in the witch trials. They just make it like completely separate witches.
Yeah.
Because again, the witch trials were done.
That's fair.
So they don't actually even really put them on trial. They literally just like
hang them.
they're savage.
Savage.
Which like interesting.
Savage interesting
enough. Originally this movie was gonna be way darker. Like,
yeah.
Originally it was more about the Sanderson sisters, and it was way darker and like less about the kids. And they filmed it all with that angle. And then when they got into post-production, decided to not make it so dark and scary.
Yeah, there was, I think, 6 scenes that had been cut from the movie that were all about the witches.
But a bunch of them are in the trailer.
Yes, they used...
Like the one where they like push them into a pool. There's no pool scene in there.
Nope.
There's ones with the supermarket, which you can actually watch. They have that scene where they're like in the supermarket drinking baby oil and stuff.
Ew.
Well, yeah, because she wants the souls of children.
Right.
So she's like, ooh, baby oil.
That's
and she
fair,
like drinks
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
Good old Kathy and Jimmy. Which they kind of repurposed for the new one, not to talk about the new one, but they do repurpose that scene, basically.
Fair.
Like, they go into a Walgreens and do basically the same scene that got cut from the old movie. So.
Also, fun thing about Sarah Jessica Parker was that she was actually related to a witch in the Salem Witch Trials.
She was.
Yes. Esther Elwell,
her like 10th great grandmother,
was accused of being a witch, but at the time she sort of lasted long enough that they stopped hanging
they all
people
got pardoned. So they May pardoned. 1963
yeah
1693
so good for her.
Maybe also, that's why she liked flying so much.
Maybe yeah she
because she's part witch.
It was said that on set Sarah Jessica Parker would read her book.
No, the New York Times.
The New York Times.
Because she could fit it in the back of her corset while she was or back of her harness while she was flying. And so she would just chill up there between takes and just read the newspaper.
Read
the New York Times.
That.
It's very, very Sarah Jessica Parker. Just like, the New York Times. I just have to have New York with me all the time.
They also had choreographers to help them with flying differently. Oh my
gosh, I loved this.
So that they would have different styles and how they flew their brooms slash mops slash, isn't it a vacuum?
Yeah, it's a vacuum. Kathy and Jimmy's on a vacuum cleaner.
I'm obsessed. Kathy McJimmy's character is maybe my favorite. She's also, they also told her to be part bloodhound. That's why she barks in the movie and acts like
a
dog.
Because she can smell the children.
Yeah.
Like, that's her whole thing. Like, the one can sing and mesmerize the children. One can smell the children. And then the other one is just a witch.
A witch.
Well, actually, with the choreography about the flying, the choreographer went driving with each of the actresses to see how they drove and then based how they flew on how they drove.
Oh, crazy. So, I love
like,
that.
Bette Midler's very 10-2, like, very proper. Sarah Jessica Parker was apparently, like, very, like, forward and kind of, like, loosey-goosey. And Kathy and Jimmy. Yeah, so they're each based on... She, like, made it individually for each actress.
You totally skipped Kathy.
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't remember what her thing was.
Like, calling just, you like, out.
I couldn't remember what her thing was. Anyways, the way they fly is all different depending on, like, who they are. And how they actually drove their cars. So then she based it on that.
Also, this was weird. So Gary... Totally... Off topic now. Gary and Penny Marshall played the married couple that dress up as Satan.
Yeah. And Medusa.
And Medusa.
She just has her hair in curls.
In real life, they're brother and sister.
I know.
Isn't that's hilarious.
Penny Marshall. Laverne and Shirley fame.
I'm obsessed.
Shout out to my friend Cindy Williams, who was Shirley in that show. Oh. I did a show with her.
I love that.
She's very sweet.
Is there any other facts? I'm trying to look at my notes.
For Hocus Pocus. In the scene where, what's the zombie's name again? I'm flanking.
Oh, yeah. But the moths are real.
The moths and the dust are fully real. So when he rips open his mouth and moths come out, they are real moths. They just had a dental dam in so that they couldn't get into his throat.
Yeah.
But he could feel them flying around in his mouth.
And there was a hole in the dental dam so that he could cough.
Right.
Yeah.
So he could feel that. But also the first time they did it, a light broke. So they had to redo it. He went to like he did it and they're like, sorry, a light just broke, you have to reset. And he's like,
oh, that's awful. I do have a quote from Tony Gardner, who was this special effects person on the movie. So there was a small hole in the back of the pocket so that Doug could cough some air through it. An animal wrangler would place several moths in the pocket with tweezers, then the stitches were glued shut, and then we'd run out of the frame so that he could get the shot as fast as possible. So that he wouldn't have to keep the moths in his mouth.
Well, and also hard to breathe when your mouth is, like, glued shut. He also, fun fact, got the role because he was a good dancer, because there was a whole cut scene where he does a big dance number at the dance with all the parents.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there's apparently some sort of dance scene, and he was, like, known to be, like, a creature actor. Like, he did that professionally, yeah. But he was also a dancer. Like, he danced in Oz Audition, that's why he got it, and then they cut the dance scene.
Oh!
Which is like good for him.
Good for
dancers
him.
Got in, and then whatever he didn't. He was so good they didn't even need.
He booked the job.
He also about when he first cuts open his mouth and then starts calling Winifred different names. Apparently, originally in the script, he was supposed to call her a bitch, but he didn't think that was like appropriate. He
for
didn't
a kids want, movie.
Well, he didn't want to first say it to Bette. He didn't want to call Bette Midler a bitch, and then he also was like, "This is a kids movie." So then he like that's why he says trollop. Something else, and then yeah, he like says three like old timey words, which I think makes even more sense that he's like he says those things. And also, Bette Midler also researched all insults that were old timey.
She had a book of old timey curse words,
which is why she says so many random curse words, because so they're perfectly matched together.
They're perfectly matched.
Yeah, I'm sure she loved that he made up or that he like changed it and made them more old timey.
Yeah,
also, they already. Said virgin for the first time in a Disney movie. They didn't also need to see bitch.
Yeah, no, I thought that was... I remember watching it for the first time and thinking, oh, like, we're talking about virgins in a Disney movie. Like, that seemed weirdly shocking to me.
Well, it's also, like, a full plot point. Like, it's not even, like, a throwaway thing. Like, the candle has to be lit by a virgin.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to know what that means. And they even make jokes about it, being like, oh, only a virgin could light it, hey? I mean, they're also supposed to be, like, 13 or 14 as well, so like,
well, that's another fair. Thing they aged up the kids to make it
they're supposed to be 12.
They're supposed to be all like young,
and then I guess them up. Yeah, they're probably 16. I think
they're supposed to be like
17,
like 13.
Oh, I thought they were in high school, because she has like a party. Or no, I guess your parents have a party.
Yeah,
I don't know, they look 15, 16.
Oh yeah, they're definitely older than that,
because then Danny's like
If Leonardo DiCaprio went for the role, like, that's he was true. An adult. Like,
that's true, that's true. Yeah, so the virgin thing, like, yeah, as a kid, I didn't even know what that meant. Like, really?
They could have just said a child. It has to be lit by...
an innocent child.
By an innocent child. And that would have signaled to adult audiences what that meant.
But they do in the new one, when he's retelling the story, one of the kids in the shop he's telling, he's like, what's a virgin?
Perfect.
And he's like, somebody who's never lit a candle.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so...
they designed the costumes around... the three witches, so they made, like, Sarah Jessica Parker, like, the sexy one.
And based around Disney princesses.
Yeah,
and
Aurora, Aurora.
She's Sleeping Beauty, which is my favorite.
Yeah, and then Kathy McJimmy is based off of, or Mary.
Najimmy,
sorry. You know me, I called him Christopher Walking the whole time.
Oh my gosh, I was screaming when I listened to that one. It's like, stop saying Walking!
Yeah, well, oh well.
That was last Spooktober.
That was last Spooktober. You can go back and listen to it. I don't mind. Yeah, they made her like look like a baker. That was like
her character. She really likes to eat children.
And Bette Midler's outfits were based off of Bette Midler.
Literally. They were like she's iconic.
She's already that.
Yeah. And they put just like ruins on the front of her dress and they mean nothing.
Also, the dance party in which she puts the spell on them all the costumes were old Disney costumes from other movies.
Because this movie was not that high of a budget.
No.
I think it was $28 million.
Yeah.
And so they put a lot of money into the three, well, A, the stars. They put a lot of money into their costumes and into their, so when they got the rest of the costume budget, they're like, we're just going to use every other thing that hasn't been used on a Disney movie or has been used on a Disney movie. Yeah. So, and it works because they all need to look like people that brought their own costumes and made their own costumes.
Yes, exactly.
And they have a fun little reference to Gypsy.
Do they?
Yeah, when she says, hello, Salem, the name is Winifred, what's yours? That's referencing her role as Gypsy.
Oh.
Hi, my name's Rose.
I love that.
What's yours? Yeah, so because she'd filmed Gypsy and him been released in the same year as this one.
Right.
So they were referencing that other movie that she was in, the other big movie that she was in.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. I mean, I wonder if she was like, I got an idea, team.
That's fair.
The gays will love this. Bring in the Gypsy reference. Trust me, they love me.
The gays love me.
Well, she's had a little bit of controversy, but anyways.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, she just made like a comment about women being women at one point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But she's also a 80-year-old woman.
That's fair.
So, and she's been an ally and has done so much for our community and stuff. And I think she didn't mean it in that way. And yeah. I think she has said she's no J.K. Rowling, let's say that. She's at least admitted that she said it wrong.
Totally.
Anyways, that's current.
That is current. Well, talking about current, there's a sequel.
There is a sequel. 29 years later.
That's so random. Why not? They should have waited one more year.
They should have released it next Halloween.
Yeah.
Just made it 30 years. I mean, they waited 300 years for them to return the first time. They couldn't have waited 30 for this one.
I haven't seen it yet, to be honest. I'm kind of waiting for Halloween. It's cute.
I mean, I wish they would have brought back a few more of the original characters, like, for at least a cameo.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, I'm grown up now, and remember when that happened? Even if they just would have had, like, a scene where, like, they were married and old now, and just like, was that who we thought? No, that could, you know what I mean? It would have been nice to just have that reference.
Yeah.
But really, they only bring the three sisters back.
Right.
And the zombie, but it's not even played by the same person, so.
That's sad.
Yeah, he has a completely different accent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're also doing a musical?
Yeah, that is rumored.
That is rumored.
I mean, funnily enough, a musical number in the original was almost cut. They didn't like it. They didn't think it fit the tone.
I Put a Spell on You or Sarah's Song?
No, I Put a Spell on You. No, Sarah's Song was always in it because that's like how she calls the children. Right. No, I Put a Spell on You was almost cut from the original one because they didn't think it was fit the tone, which it doesn't. And that's then they put two songs in this one, and one really doesn't work, I don't think. They literally get called back and sing a song, and it was not the choice. Anyways. I think go watch the original one for sure. It's a classic, a cult classic, if you will. I think it's a really fun Halloween movie for all ages. It has something for the adults. It has a lot for the kids. I personally love this movie.
Yeah.
I haven't even rewatched it fully yet this year, just because I like to wait till it's closer to Halloween. But
I know. I'm kind of the same.
But I feel like I have rewatched it just from like researching this and like, but it'll be fun to like rewatch it fully and have all the little tidbits. So hopefully that's what you're doing. You're going to listen to this podcast and then go rewatch it and know all these little fun facts.
I did not grow up watching this movie. I'm kind of like Sarah Jessica Parker. I have no memories of it. She has said that in an interview that she doesn't really...
Except for reading the paper.
Yeah, she doesn't really have much thoughts about this movie. Where Bette Midler was like, it was one of my favorite movies to make.
Yeah, she said it's one of her favorite roles she's ever played of all time. Yeah. And also, I think Kathleen and Jimmy loves this movie.
Yeah,
I've heard her talk about it. She
watches
loves
it with her kids every Halloween. But yeah, no, I didn't really watch it growing up. It's not part of my...
It was definitely... I watched it on Disney Channel. Like, I don't think I ever like rented this movie as a kid. Again, because I was a very scared child and did not like Halloween until I was an adult. But I think it was one of those, once it was on Disney Channel and they just kept playing it every year, I watched it and loved it.
Well, that's how it's made all its money, because it lost money at the box office.
Right.
If you look at the numbers, it looks like it made money, but people forget that like half the box office goes to the theaters.
Totally.
So it really did. I think it was said that they lost $16 million.
They opened it in July. They wrote an entire Halloween-based movie in summer.
Yeah.
Terrible planning. I don't know who...
They were really going for those Asian markets, because little known fact, in Asia, summer is a spooky season.
But yes, I definitely, I think it's one of those kind of like a It's a Wonderful Life or a Wizard of Oz that on its original release, people didn't really go for it. And then it got put on TV and people grew up watching it every year on TV. And then now it's just, they love it.
Yeah, so it's made most of its money from ad revenue, from TV screenings and streaming services.
Which we love. And now it's on Disney Plus for everyone to watch.
They have a whole sequel.
They have a whole sequel, which I would watch. You should watch the sequel.
If you
watch the original, or maybe watch the sequel first. Well, if you've never seen the original, watch the original first and then the sequel, because it won't make any sense. But if you love the original, maybe just watch the sequel first and then go back and be like, oh yeah, this is why I love this movie.
Totally. Well, I think that brings us back.
Back from the way back.
Back from the way back.
Yeah. Back to the now.
So, Luke, and what are your pop picks?
The noisy neighbors have come back. Literally, they were quiet, I think, the whole time we recorded. And then once we start talking about current events, they start to roll stuff around. Currently, what's my pop pick? Well, my pop pick's actually kind of problematic.
Go for it.
I have been watching the new Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix. It's really good. And I really got into it this week. But I also know that it's super problematic and the victims' families are really unhappy about it and don't. Well, just like every time a new series gets brought up, they get asked questions and they have to relive it all. You're also, this is a very accurate...
depiction?
Yeah, like to the point where they're wearing like the exact things in the courtroom that they wore. Like they're wearing like perfect replicas and they've like meticulously made sure everything is like... as close to what happened. I mean, they don't show all the things, obviously, and it's still a TV show and entertaining, but yeah, victims are very mad about this, and also because
they... Well, the victims aren't, because they're dead.
Not the
victims. I'm sorry.
One victim, spoiler, survives.
One.
It's just another thing that people are making millions of dollars off of.
Yeah, they're pain.
And I knew that going into it, and I still watched it, but it's really good. And I do love Evan Peters. I think he's perfect for this role.
That's fair.
His whole career is just playing... terrifying, scary people on American Horror Story. Which, if you want a less problematic pop pick, I have been watching also American Horror Stories, which is their short story anthology.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to have to watch a whole movie or anything, but you want something spooky, you can watch. They're like 45 minutes long. It's one story. Some of them have to do with the series American Horror Story, but most of them are just standalone, have nothing to do except for that one story. So those are also really well done if you want something scary to watch. But those are my pop picks. They're very spooktober.
Love it.
What about yours, Eric?
What are my pop picks? I know I've said this as a pop pick, but I've recently watched the third season of Bling Empire.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of loving that Netflix is... I know it's reality TV, but they're creating this sort of on-screen universe of all the reality TV shows, because Julia Hart from My Unorthodox Life makes cameos in the new season of Bling Empire.
Interesting.
And Chris Schell from Selling Sunset makes a cameo
in
it. So they're kind of like weaving all their
reality. So they're kind of making it like reality. Their, what's the,
like their own Bravo. MCU.
Like, yeah.
Their own MCU of reality TV.
Yeah.
And then of course Selling Sunset is connected to Selling OC and Selling Tampa.
Which I have not watched either of those yet.
Selling OC is good.
Okay.
It's drama. It's okay. So much drama.
All right. You know why I hate the drama.
And now they're doing... So Bling Empire is having a spinoff called New Empire, and it's just a New York version of Bling Empire.
Oh, interesting.
So, Crazy Rich Asians
in New York.
In New York.
Interesting.
And I say Crazy Rich Asians because the show is based off of the movie Crazy right. Rich Asians. It's the reality TV show version of it.
They're not crazy. They're just crazy rich.
They're just crazy. Well,
some of them are a little.
Some of them might be a little bit. Mine's not Halloween themed at all.
That's okay.
But hey,
I feel like I've been bringing all the fall vibes, even though this is Eric's season.
I know. I'm wearing a nice polar fleece shirt.
I mean, this is a podcast, so you could just be like, I'm in full plaid. And
full plaid.
And I'm wrapped in an infinity scarf, and I have Uggs on, and I am drinking a pumpkin spice latte. And weirdly, there's fall leaves just falling in my apartment.
I have scarecrows set up everywhere.
Everywhere. Surprise. They're actually just people that I've hired. And then Eric gets attacked. Anyways.
Oh, I thought you were going to say surprise. They're just people I killed.
No, that's a little too close to my pop pick.
Oh, I guess I could have said for my pop pick. New pop pick.
All the people that Eric's killed.
No, The Devil in Ohio, which is a show on Netflix.
Ooh.
It's about cults.
Oh.
About a cult that worships the devil. Assumed. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. It's
is it,
fun.
Is it
it's
a documentary?
Or no.
Is it...
No, it's scripted.
Okay.
You should watch it.
Okay.
But you can also watch Bling Empire. I won't take away Bling Empire, but Devil in Ohio is fun. It has Emily Deschanel in it.
Oh, we love a Deschanel.
Yeah, the less famous Deschanel.
True.
But...
Well, it depends.
She's the less famous one.
That's fair.
We still like her. There's nothing wrong with her.
She's one from Bones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Bones.
It's great. It's fun. Also, one of the guys from Handmaid's Tale's in it.
Ooh.
The one that plays the American ambassador. Yeah, so well, that brings us to the end, I think.
Brings us to the end of this spooky, witchy, ooh, witchy.
Oh my gosh, Luke's getting too into it.
It's a good
oh my gosh. I love the way they walk in the film. Like, doo, 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 doo. Obsessed.
Yeah.
All right, well, see you later.
Bye.
Follow us on Instagram before there were hashtags. Bye.
Bye.